It is a privilege to be here again with the Saints. I'll be much more glad when we have the rest of the Saints here. We miss our children. It's been a long time. Sound maybe like I'm complaining, but I'm really not. I'm blessed with what's happening, but also a little distracted. Got my wife back after 10 days. Why? That's pretty distracting. And Becky and Holly, you're not nothing. Definitely something. Glad you're home. Made a difference. All of a sudden, 10 days of pretty well silence in the morning and in the evenings when I was home, you have the sound of singing again. I walked into the kitchen last night. Holly'd been in there singing. She just had to do a few dishes. She'd been in there singing for about an hour. I walked in and said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, a song happened and cleaning happened too." So she just got to singing, decided, "Well, I want to keep singing," so grabbed a rag and started wiping down cupboards and cabinets. You can't have her. She's mine. I'm keeping her. Praise God. Jesus Christ, He is a reminder to my own heart when I have family restored to me, just what it is, the promise of God in Scripture. When He says, if you have left wife, children, husband, land for my sake in the gospel, you shall receive in this life 100-fold more of family, land, goods, with persecution, and then a life to come. It is everlasting life. It's worth it. It's very precious to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to make new acquaintances, to have your family grow in such a way that you cannot multiply it after that fashion on the earth. Only God can give us the sweetness that we have in fellowship here. Praise the Lord. And may He add to His flock as He sees fit. Jesus Christ. Brother Dave wanted to lift up the mind of Christ, and I'll ask you to remember the verses there in 1 Corinthians. I won't bring them up again, but you will need to have the Spirit of God, and you'll need to remember that verse, those verses. Consider Jesus Christ. If we look anyplace else, we've got a problem. Consider Jesus Christ. You know those verses that say, the grace of God, which hath appeared to all men, the very grace of God that appeared is Jesus Christ. He did come in the flesh to show us and teach us that we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. And by doing so, we deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And we spend our time here with a singleness of focus. It's looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave Himself to us, for us, to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify us and make of us a peculiar people who are zealous of good works. We're called His blessed, His chosen. We are made His. We are begotten of God. As Paul said, an apostle, not by the will of man, not by the will of God, or not by the will of man, not by men, but by the will of God and Jesus Christ, His Son. We also are begotten of God. You cannot save yourself. You cannot make yourself a child of God. You're begotten of God. It's by His will, through Jesus. Christ Himself is the very word of truth. And you, first-generation Christians here, are a kind of first fruits unto God. That is pretty important. The responsibility lies upon those that bear the first fruit. The apostles were the first fruits of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the responsibility given unto them was to spend the rest of their lives in no other thing than the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I would say today, we have the same charge. May we have the mind of Christ to fulfill the will of Christ. May we have the power of Christ that we might fulfill the will of God. That is His charge to us. Well, the title is very simple today. Pray. Just pray. Brother Dave hinted that I was going to finish Ephesians today. Well, I'm not. I had fully intended to finish Ephesians today, but the Lord had different designs. So which would you rather I do? Probably do it the Lord's way. It never comes out right when I don't. So we're going to spend probably the next couple of addresses on the subject of prayer. We will be faithful to our passage of Ephesians, and we will exposit just verse 18 and look at the points in that verse. But then at the close of the message, the latter half, I'd like to take a few minutes to introduce in greater detail the subject of prayer, and we'll look at some of the questions of prayer. The why, when, what, where, and how. When it comes to prayer, it often is put out here. And we look at prayer and say, well, I know it's something we're to do. But there's not much teaching on the follow-through, and I'm afraid that there's not much teaching on prayer because there's not many praying people. There are books of the ancient divines, and you can line your bookshelf with different accounts of prayer, but you have to spend 2,000 years to do it. In our modern society, our pulpits are full of preachers who spend their time postulating and posturing and putting forth all sorts of things. They have devotionals and books, and they sell themselves out as speakers from place to place, doing it for an income, making a gain from their godliness, if such were possible. And they spend so little time in prayer that this fearful and unfortunately common thing happens to them. It just happened a couple of weeks ago again. If I say the name James Baker, most of you have a picture in your mind. Or Jimmy Swaggart. You know what Jimmy Swaggart did. Well, we just added to the infamous list of infamous preachers who have taken an infamous fall. This time it's Ted Haggard, standing in his pulpit, preaching strongly against homosexuality, is caught in the sin of sodomy. What a crime against the gospel. A 14,000-member church that was betrayed. Something happened to him, and since we brought up Nebuchadnezzar earlier, I'll bring him up again. And it's the same thing that happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He started to think that he was bigger than God. He started to think that he was above it all. And Nebuchadnezzar said, look at what I have built. Look at my kingdom. And God made him crazy and put him out in fields eating grass for 7 years, growing his hair like eagle feathers and his fingers nailed like claws. When any man becomes lifted up in his own pride, God is sure to bring him down to the dirt. So men, particularly to you and me, young men, don't think of yourself higher than you ought to think, but soberly, according as God has given to every man the measure of faith, no more. You can do nothing but by him. We can do nothing but through him, and we will accomplish absolutely nothing of lasting value if we start taking some of the glory, because he won't share it with anyone. It doesn't matter your gifts of speaking or singing or serving. As soon as you step outside of the prayer closet and you leave it far behind you, you leave yourself wide open to all of the works of Satan. And you are not better. Not a one of us is any better than these ministers who have fallen. We're all cut from the same cloth. We have the same flesh upon us. We better stay in the right frame of mind. Low before God, lest we too become subject to the same error. It is a grief to me because of the testimony of Jesus Christ and what a mockery it makes of our Lord when one falls. Seeing the damage done by another, let's be sure that we do not be damaged. You want to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read again. begin verses 10 through 18. Why don't you read out loud with me? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. If you would join me, since the subject is prayer, I know we've prayed several times already this morning, but it is one thing I don't believe our Lord wearies of, since he commands us to pray always. If you would, this would be unusual for us, but those of you that could we just kneel together, just right there in your seat, just turn around. Oh, Father. Oh, God. Come, Lord. Lord, we need you this morning to come in our midst. We assume the only posture we have a right to take before you. Lowly, humble, our face and our hearts in the dust. Only drawing near you by faith. Only drawing near you by the shed blood of Jesus on Calvary. So in Jesus' name we come this morning, Father, asking you our petition. Lord, do not pass us by this morning. Do not leave us alone this morning. But come now in our midst. Settle upon us. Brood over this place. Minister unto your people. Meet our needs. Teach us. Teach us, Lord, out of your word, how to ascend up into your hill. Give us commandments that we might know where to place our feet. Teach us how that we may be like Christ. Teach us full surrender. Teach us, Lord, today how to pray. And it can only come by your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill now with your Spirit hearts that true surrender know. In each and every heart that is open unto you, take up your residence there and guide us through this message. Father, I pray for the anointing from heaven to come upon me. Take my lips, Lord, and let them be consecrated wholly unto you, and pour forth those words which you would choose. Let all my learning be laid to nothing. Let all of my studying be to naught, my notes blinded to my eyes, that your word might come forth as you have seen fit. O God, let all my cleverness, let all of my planning be laid aside, that your Spirit then might work. We look to you, Father, to move by your Spirit and not by our flesh. For we expect a heavenly visitation of God that will lead to a permanent dwelling with God. Teach us, Lord, how to abide with you in all our ways, in all our life. Make us truly holy. Sanctify and cleanse this house, the people in it, that we might be a temple fit. A body fit, meet for the Master's use. Those in sin today, Lord, bring to repentance, that they might have a life purified, cleansed of iniquity, that they can go forth from this place, saying, I serve the King of Kings. Let no heart remain hardened. And there are some here, Lord. Soften them, please. Draw them, please, dear Father, and work salvation in that heart that is walking away from you. Call back the wandering child. Restore the sinner to a state of grace. Save the backslider. Lord, call us home to your very presence, that this world, this life that we live, may be a joy and a pleasure and bring glory to your name. We offer up this service to you again in the name of your dear Son. Amen, Lord. On the battlefield, what happens to a soldier who stops fighting? You can answer. He dies. In the water, what happens to a shark that stops swimming? He sinks and he dies. If you take a fish out of the water, what happens? He dies. Kind of figuring this out, aren't you? What happens if we stop breathing? We die. Does it happen right away? It takes a little bit, doesn't it? How long can you hold your breath? What do you think, Tyler? How long can you hold it? Maybe 20 seconds? Have you ever tried that? It doesn't take very long before you start starving for that air. Well, you can maybe grunt it out for another minute or so. But it doesn't take very long, and you start dying. Well, church family, Christian, what happens to a saint who stops praying? You may look like you're alive, but you're surely dead. In all of these cases, life ceases when it loses contact with that thing which gives it its vitality, with that thing that causes it to move. You've heard that saying of Paul quoting a poet of the people, "For in him we live and move and have our being." It is so true. For us. It's true for all the world that in God they live and move and have their being. He is the one that giveth to all life, breath, and all things. But to the saint particularly, the infilling of the Holy Ghost is our life blood. The life is in the blood, right? But to a Christian, added to your life blood is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost in you is the O2 that goes and travels through your lungs and through your heart, and it is that very thing that gives energy and heat to your body. It is what supplies the oxygen, the blood carries the O2 to the brain that enables you to think. It is of vital importance. I can't overstate how important prayer is to the believer. I can't tell you how many times the need for prayer is mentioned in the Bible. How important is prayer? Usually something that's important to God. He says in the beginning, he says in the middle, and he says it at the end. Well, I could say in the beginning God talked about prayer, because in Genesis chapter 4, at the end there after Seth was born, God says through the writer of Genesis, he says, "And then at that time," the last verse of chapter 4, "men began to call upon the name of the Lord." Well, I'd say that's pretty close to the beginning when Seth was born. We're not too far away. And what's in the middle of the Bible? The book of Psalms. Isn't that what you always say? Well, it's about in the middle of the Bible. And you read the book of Psalms, and what is the book of Psalms in a collection of prayer and praise to God? And what is at the end of the Bible? But in Revelation chapter 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus, amen." So at the beginning, the middle, and the end, the Bible is a prayer. And it's packed full of examples of it all the way through. So you can see maybe why it's going to take two messages at least. There's more here than I can say. And there's more to put to your hearts. It is God's desire that as a church, we get a hold of prayer. Not just as individual Christians, though I believe that is absolutely essential. But as a church, we must be a praying church. Well, why would I say that? Because Jesus told the Pharisees what God had prophesied before him. "My house shall be called the house of prayer." Nowhere does the Bible say, "My house shall be called a house of preaching"? It does not say my house shall be called a house of teaching. It does not say that my house shall be called a house of socializing. Well, all those things happen there. But what it ought to be known for is the prayer. If we want to see revival, if we want to see souls saved, if we want to know what direction to go in our life, pray. Well, I'd better get on with verse 18 so that I can get on to the rest of it. Verse 18. When do we pray? It says there in the beginning of the verse, praying always. Praying always. Let's answer a question then. What is prayer? And there are many and varied opinions on what is prayer. And we'll talk about some of those another time. But to pray, going with a dictionary definition, this is Webster's 1828, is to ask with earnestness or zeal as for a favor or for something desirable. It is to entreat and to supplicate. Two very important words there, or three. Ask, earnestness, zeal. The root word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it, leaves a word picture that evokes this image of a pouring forth of water as in a violent rain. When was the last time you prayed in such a way that someone would listen and say, that is like a pouring forth of water as in a violent rain? Now, energy alone in prayer is not enough. Worked up passion in the flesh makes you no more acceptable to God. But this is what the word prayer means. To pray will be represented often at or often by this picture of a pouring forth of water as in a violent rain. Young men, if there were some teenagers here, I'd really pick on them, but they're not. But I think Tyler and TJ, you guys are 13 years old. What do you think about food? You like food? You, when you're hungry, do you like to eat? Okay, maybe I need to pick on some other guys. You can. Yeah, absolutely like to eat. And when you get hungry, you want food. And when you're hungry enough, you will kind of do whatever it takes to get food. You will, I mean, you might even get rude. You ever been in the food line at the buffet on a Sunday afternoon? Okay, none of you are shaking your heads yes anymore. I almost got you. We used to go. And that these people would come. I mean, they'd be, if the meat preacher, if he went a half hour long, I mean, they're throwing elbows. We want the front of the line. Well, I thought, well, if they prayed as hard as they want to get to the buffet table, their church would be a little bit different, and they wouldn't care that the preacher went a half hour long. You kind of see where I'm going there? We're commanded to pray. There's something been said about prayer. And many people's prayers ought to be cut at both ends and ignited in the middle. They can be long. They can be beautiful. They can be full of great doctrine without supplication. And what needs to happen is they need to be cut off on the beginning and the end, and they need to be lit on fire in the middle. It talks about getting a hold of the horns of the altar. And to get a hold of the horns of the altar, what that represented is, it is for dear life that I am grasping this thing. When was the last time you entered the prayer closet and in your heart was this yearning that this is for my very life? I have been so separated from God by my iniquities that I am going to grasp the horns of the altar and wrestle until I have a hold of the hem of His garment. Until I receive my blessing from God as Jacob did. Until I obtain the promise that God has given me, as it was to Abraham. That's prayer. A.W. Tozer said this about prayer and its descent in the church. Beware when the calm lifting of requests and the courteous giving of thanks take the place of burdened prayer that finds utterance difficult. The next step is surely down, whether we know it or not. Do any of you believe in evolution? In the 60 years since that was penned, have we evolved upwards? I think not. Continuing there in verse 18, praying always. The Bible tells us in another place, it gives us a straight command. It's in a list of commands. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing? Pray always. What do you suppose that means? Men ought always to pray. I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without fear and doubting. We are to pray without ceasing. We're to pray in the Spirit and by the Spirit. And prayer, to have its fullest effect in your heart, can be defined in this. Prayer is an acknowledgement of the presence of God. He is everywhere all the time. And to enter into true prayer, you have to acknowledge the presence of God. Brothers and sisters, when that happens, you'll say with Isaiah, "Woe is unto me, for I am undone." Preach the rest of that sometime. This sense in your spirit of the presence of God, and God is a spirit, so you have a sense in your spirit of the Spirit, and you will commune with Him by the Spirit. Praying, brothers and sisters, is not just what you can say. It is equal parts heart and tongue. But far better to have heart with little vocal expression than a lot of vocal expression and no heart. You can have both. It should be equal parts heart and tongue. I'm not saying don't make vocal expression. Actually, I'm going to condemn that here in a minute, those of you that only pray privately. Or silently, I should say, rather. And I hope when I said I'm going to condemn it, I believe that it is the Lord has spoken. Prayer. Praying always. How many times do you breathe in a minute? About 20 respiratory breaths a minute. If you're like me, it's a little more than that. Hyper people tend to breathe more. But 20 breaths a minute. Brother Rusty, do you ever need reminded to breathe? Hey, you forgot. You know, suck in. You're turning a little blue. No, you don't need that. You do not need reminded to pray. It is something that you need. You know it, so you do it. You actually have an automatic thing in your brain that says, breathe. Well, a Christian ought to have an automatic thing in their spirit that says, pray. It should be pray. Praying always. And how do we do that? How do we pray always? Have you ever read that command in Scripture to pray always, and you've tried to figure out, okay, how am I supposed to do this? I've got to walk around muttering, you know, it's got to be in my, you know, I need to have always a prayer on my lips. Lord, how do I always have a prayer on my lips? Well, you were praying when you were doing that. But by the way, and you have other things you have to do, right, Brother Rusty? When you're driving down the road in your FedEx truck, you cannot get on your knees. If you did that, you would get arrested if you didn't kill somebody. Or maybe both. So how do you pray always? When you're having to read the labels, brother, before you load it. When you have to count the money from your processes that day. Mamas, yeah, you know, I suppose there are some things that I have a job where I can get into certain positions where I can kind of space out because I'm in a repetitive motion there, or I can just pray. I have to pay a little bit of attention, but I've done it long enough that I can automatically do some of that. So I can pray at those times. But when I'm having to reason out a problem, how can I be praying? Well, I've asked myself that question. Anyone have an answer? No, sorry, we'll get to that another time. I was hoping maybe you could help. I'm just kidding. There is a way that we can pray without ceasing, and it's this. It's an attitude of the heart. It becomes so much of what you do and who you are that you don't think, oh, it's time to pray because I'm breathing. It is what you do because it is who you are. Prayer flows from your life, and that is somewhat with this next part says, with all prayer and supplication. With all prayer. With all prayer. public prayer, private prayer, short prayer, long prayer, silent prayer, audible prayer, spontaneous prayer, and planned prayer. And I probably missed some. But it's all of those and more. And what is the spontaneous prayer? Someone tells you about a need, and as you're conversing, just offer up a prayer. Lift your voice to God. Well, I know that the Pratts were traveling today. May God bless them as they sit in the service at Zion today and meet the need of their heart. That's a prayer. How do you pray without ceasing? You're sitting there and saying, Lord, help my brother to bring forth that which we need to hear. Help him be yielded in his heart that we might hear. Help me yield that I might receive. Help me to pay attention. Wake me up because I'm sleepy. Settle me down because I'm hungry. Anything. Whatever your need is at this moment, pray. It should become automatic to us because it is who we are. That is the ejaculatory prayer. It just comes forth from you. You pray with thanksgiving and you pray with request, all prayer. You pray with adoration and praise and worship. These are all types of prayer. With all prayer. Some there are, and this is John Wesley that I'm quoting, who use only mental prayer and ejaculations and think that they are in a state of grace and use a way of worship far superior to any other. But such only fancy themselves to be above that which is really above them, it requiring far more grace to be enabled to pour out a fervent and continued prayer than to offer mental aspirations. All prayer. Human reasoning and emotional impressions make for lousy communication with God. But, truth be known, that's how most of us pray. The majority of us pray out of our human reasoning and out of our emotional impressions. And that is not prayer. It is not communion with God. It is the expression of your flesh. And therefore sensual. Supplication in the Spirit. And the word supplication denotes a humility. But it is a humility coupled with earnestness. Irene, if you had been 3 days in the desert without a glass of water, and you were back there, and I was up here, and I had a pitcher of water. What do you think you would do? You haven't had a drink of water for 3 days. You know what that would make you feel like? You've never done it before, have you? Good, because that's about enough to kill you. Makes your tongue is swollen. You can't even work up enough saliva to wet your throat. Your body would be very weak by its depletion of water. Strength, you could feel it flowing out of you. And if you knew I had a pitcher of water and you were back there, you would come and give me anything for that drink of water. You would plead with me the most earnestly. Well, that's supplication. It is knowing a need and seeking its satisfaction. But it's a need that is deeply and fully known. The infirmities of our flesh and the limits of our understanding in this supplication in the Spirit will be strengthened and completed by the aid of the Holy Ghost. There's where those verses in 1 Corinthians that Brother Dave shared are important for you to call to mind again. We need to know that. The natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. So we need the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26. Likewise, you don't need to turn there, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to pray. But the Spirit itself maketh groanings for us which cannot be uttered. Have you ever gotten on your knees to pray and felt, Lord, I can't pray? It's all stopped up. Can't get through, can't get clear. That's God speaking a message to you. I stand at the door and knock. If any shall open to me, I will come unto him and sup with him. My brothers and sisters, when you get down to pray, God is knocking. He is asking you to lean upon him, the Holy Spirit, and to let him guide you in prayer. I do not advocate, and I want to make sure I say this, emptying the mind. That leads to chronic influence. We'll talk more about specific types of prayer later. But it comes with a willingness in the heart to just enter into the presence of God and allow the Holy Spirit to infill you and to work through you in prayer. Those of you that have been born again, as Brother Dave said, the Spirit of God has filled you. When you were born again, some part of the Spirit of God came upon you and indwelt you. When you were baptized in the water, hands were laid upon you for the receiving of the Holy Ghost. Now that happened, but you're not all done. You didn't get the Holy Ghost back there and now, okay, well, I'm on my way. It is something that we need to continually seek after because there are things that separate between us and our God that happen in the daily course of life. And we need, I don't know how that fits in your theology, but I need to be continually filled with the Spirit. I am always asking God, fill me with your Spirit. Make me able to live today. Give to me power to please you because I can't in myself. Fill me with the mind of Christ by your Spirit. Enable me to walk in the gift and graces that you have ordained for your people. And you have to do it by your Spirit, God, because I can't put the list up on the wall and live it out. If I think I'm going to work on love for the next 28 days until I have a new habit, I'm going to be working on love until I die, and it's never going to work. Like, well, I'm going to be joyful today. It's going to be plastic. I need it to be worked in me by your Holy Spirit. So that is how we need to pray. Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit that I can even pray. Because I can't in my own strength. My flesh is just my flesh.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part 2 of this message, please press 2 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.